Well, this is going to be an interesting week for sure. Welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Monday, May 13th, 2024. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. We are building the infrastructure of human freedom. And when I say interesting, it's because I've been rehearsing what I'm going to be doing live this Friday at the Exit and Build Land Summit event. And I've decided to take it up a notch or two, both in the flow arts demonstration I'm going to be giving, which you've probably never seen this before, and also in my talk about AI and some breakthroughs in our own AI efforts. So you can tune in and watch the first day and a half of that event for free, or you can buy a ticket for the whole immersion package, watch all the speakers. It's all about growing food, permaculture, getting out of the system, decentralization, finding freedom, all that. Just go to naturalnews.com/landsummit, all one word, land summit, and that will take you there. It's the John Bush event. It's happening in Bastrop, Texas, and it begins this Friday. Yeah, indeed, the 17th, 18th. And 19th, and there might even be some tickets still available for in-person attendance if you are interested in that. But as a result of that presentation I'm giving on Friday, I may be abbreviating the Brighteon Broadcast News podcast this week. We'll see. Also today, I'm featuring an interview with a man who's running for county commissioner for Bastrop County in Texas. And I decided I wanted to do a local interview and ask questions about county level preparedness in case of a collapse, in case of civil war, in case of activation of the illegals that are occupying our country. Things are getting pretty crazy, as you well know. Fortunately, just like I said in the weekend podcast, we didn't lose the power grid over the weekend. We didn't, the end of the world didn't happen. Thank goodness. But it's a reminder of how quickly things can come on. Things can happen almost without warning. And I wanted to get an example of county level preparedness. So I interviewed a local candidate who is not a public speaker, not a professional communicator, but rather a local businessman who just wants to preserve family values and make sure that Texas doesn't become California. So that's an interesting interview coming up later today. Big news over the weekend, a lot of it having to do with both Russia and Israel. So let's jump into that. From Al Jazeera, which of course had its offices raided and shut down by Netanyahu and the IDF in Israel, because Israel is a democracy that supports freedom of the press. Oh, unless you publish something Netanyahu doesn't like, in which case they just raid your offices and steal all your computers and hard drives and shut you down. But they're still publishing from other offices. They've got a headline here that's a bombshell. Egypt says it's going to join South Africa's genocide case against Israel at the ICJ. So, Egypt, wow, a neighbor of Gaza, of course, shares that the Rafah common border there. Egypt is going to formally join the case that has been famously filed by South Africa against Israel at the ICJ, the International Court of Justice. That case accuses Israel of violating its obligations under the Genocide Convention by, of course, indiscriminately bombing tens of thousands of women and children to death, bombing hospitals, bombing residential buildings, even launching missiles at food aid workers and killing them. So, the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, has already made a decision and said that the case may proceed, that there is a rational basis. There is evidence and reason to believe that Israel may be committing genocide. The case is currently underway. I mean, of course Israel is committing genocide. Everybody with a brain who isn't a Zionist knows that. But now Egypt is going to join this lawsuit effort. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs said on Sunday that Cairo intended to join the case due to escalating Israeli aggression against Palestinian civilians. Here's a statement from the ministry in Egypt. This submission comes in light of the worsening severity and scope of Israeli attacks against Palestinian civilians in the Gaza Strip, and the continued perpetration of systematic practices against the Palestinian people, including direct targeting of civilians and the destruction of infrastructure in the Strip, referring to the Gaza Strip, and pushing Palestinians to flee. The death toll now in Gaza from Israel's bombing has surpassed 35,000. About 70% are women and children, which just makes it astonishing that anybody could continue to support Israel. And, oh, by the way, guess who's supporting Israel? Donald Trump, Senator Ted Cruz, even Jerry Seinfeld. You know, I mean, it's a long list of people who are just all in with Israel, even as it's carrying out genocide. But Egypt is not all in. So in addition to South Africa and its filings against Israel, Turkey has said it's going to join the case. Colombia has said it's going to join the case and has also cut off all diplomatic ties with Israel. Now Egypt is going to join the case. So one by one, more and more countries are not only voting to recognize Palestine, as the vast majority of the countries on the planet already voted last week at the UN to recognize Palestine, but in addition to that, more and more countries are joining this effort to hold Israel accountable for its modern-day Holocaust. It is genocide that is taking place. This move by Egypt is being called a, quote, unbelievable diplomatic blow to Israel. That's by Alon Liel, former director of Israel's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, speaking to Al Jazeera. He says that with Egypt joining South Africa now in The Hague, it's a real diplomatic punch. Israel would have to take it very seriously. We have to look overall in the wider picture, in the long-term security of Israel, not only in the next few weeks in Gaza. Now, you may have noticed that the GOP has just rapidly and spontaneously abandoned all their core principles in order to function as Zionist puppets. Now, GOP senators, and I'm reading from informationliberation.com, GOP senators are now demanding that the IRS investigate pro-Palestine groups for, quote, supporting terrorists. So 15 Republican senators are now wanting to weaponize the IRS to go after their political enemies. Now, what's wrong with this picture? The GOP was supposed to be the party of small government. The GOP, if it had any credibility at all, would be saying every day, the IRS should never be weaponized against the American people, nor should the FBI or the DOJ or the ATF or the FDA, on and on and on. If you believe in liberty, if you believe in the Constitution, if you believe in small government, you have to believe in the idea that weaponizing government against the people is tyranny. It's authoritarianism. It's a bad idea. But as we're seeing now, the GOP, they're all in favor of weaponizing the IRS. Oh, let's just sick the IRS agents on these people over here, the people who are pro-Palestine, the people critical of Israel, the students, the university professors, the academics. During the Cultural Revolution of China, by the way, they went after the academics and they slaughtered them. At one point, anyone who had glasses was considered to be an academic, and in some cases, they had their skulls bashed in with bricks and clubs as they knelt on the walks in front of their own homes. During that revolution, agents of the government went door to door and pulled people out of their homes and bashed in their skulls and killed them. And anyone who had an education, a university degree, was considered to be a threat to the rising communist regime. The GOP is starting to remind me of that. They are also calling for, in the House, they're calling for rounding up all pro-Palestinian protesters or anti-Israel protesters, as they're sometimes called, rounding them up and flying them to Gaza and dropping them off in Gaza. This is actually being proposed by, I think, Representative Mills out of Florida. He wants to round up all the students and professors, drop them off in Gaza, where they will be bombed by the IDF using U.S. bombs. I mean, what is this? What is this, like Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger? I mean, is this Hunger Games? What kind of insanity has the GOP become now? So now they're like, let's weaponize the IRS against our enemies. Well, my goodness, look around. What do you think is happening right now against Trump? It's been the weaponization of the entire government against Trump for the last, well, nearly 8 years. They weaponized the deep state. They weaponized the intelligence community, the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ. All of it was weaponized against Trump. I thought we were supposed to be saying it's wrong to weaponize the government. But now the GOP senators, they're like, no, it's cool. As long as we're targeting our enemies. Right. So let's see who signed this letter wanting to weaponize the IRS against students in America. Senator Joni Ernst, Senator Bill Cassidy, Marco Rubio, Tom Tillis, Senator Mullen, Senator Roger Marshall, Kevin Cramer, Mike Crapo, Dan Sullivan, James Risch, John Thune, Lindsey Graham, no surprise, Marsha Blackburn, no surprise, Ted Cruz, Mitt Romney, right, and Katie Boyd Britt. So here we have Ted Cruz and Mitt Romney all on the same side of tyranny right now. And they want to just take every office of the government and weaponize it and go after people for constitutionally protected speech on a college campus. That's the GOP today. Unbelievable. Now, in the House, by the way, there's an effort to impeach Joe Biden. But why, you ask? Why now? Oh, it's because Joe Biden, well, his administration is cutting off 2,000-pound bombs shipments to Israel. That started last week. Biden is trying to force Israel to maybe stop the genocide, at least until Election Day, because he's hurting so much in the polls among the youth and the students and, you know, peace activists who tend to be leftists. They tend to be Biden supporters, and now they call him Genocide Joe. So Joe Biden is cutting off weapons to Israel. Well, the Biden administration. So the GOP now in the House, all of a sudden, the same people who didn't give a crap about the wide open borders, they didn't impeach Joe Biden for trying to push gun control. They didn't impeach Joe Biden for rigging elections. They didn't impeach Joe Biden for weaponizing the DOJ to persecute peaceful J6 protesters. No, they didn't impeach Joe Biden for Burisma money laundering, the Biden crime family, tens of millions of dollars to his own son and other family members laundered through Ukraine and communist China. No, Joe Biden is not impeached for any of those things because the GOP, they don't care about those things. That's just business as usual. But when Joe Biden cuts off weapons to Israel, impeach! Impeach that man! All of a sudden, it's impeachment time. All of a sudden, the GOP finds the will to take action. The will that never exists about open borders or the invasion of America with illegals or the abandonment of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights by the federal government. No, impeach him for not sending enough bombs to Israel. Because the GOP, as of today in 2024, the GOP in America has become the genocide old party. GOP, genocide old party. They push genocide, and it's a bunch of old white dudes who think it's a party to kill people every day, as long as they're not white people, mind you. They're killing brown people with American bombs. Yep, the genocide old party. Now, just to make this even crazier, over the weekend, Senator Lindsey Graham, who, let's face it, is just super disgusting. I mean, is he even human? He doesn't seem to have a human heart or a soul. He says, essentially, that Israel should just bomb Gaza the way America bombed Hiroshima. Basically, he's saying Israel should nuke Gaza, although he didn't say it directly. He said that Israel should do whatever it takes to annihilate Hamas, the way that we annihilated Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That's what he said. In his own words, here's how he said it. It doesn't leave much to the imagination. When we were faced with destruction as a nation after Pearl Harbor, fighting the Germans and the Japanese, we decided to end the war by bombing Hiroshima, Nagasaki with nuclear weapons. So Israel, do whatever you have to do to survive as a Jewish state. Whatever you have to do, he said. See? And then he goes on and says, give Israel the bombs they need to end the war they can't afford to lose. And work with them to minimize casualties. What? Minimize casualties? They're bombing residential buildings and hospitals and universities and refugee camps, for God's sake. So Lindsey Graham is a dangerous lunatic. Here's what I tweeted out. This insanity from a GOP senator is one of the most dangerous, irresponsible, and insane statements ever uttered by any U.S. senator. It demonstrates the wide-eyed zealotry of those who are Zionist puppets and their willingness to kill millions of people, or even billions if a global nuclear war unfolds, in order to protect their wealthy donors. Senator Graham speaks like a psychiatric patient and signals that he is a clear and present danger to the stability of the world as he actively seeks to prod Israel into escalating the war to a regional nuclear exchange. Does Graham not realize that if Israel nukes Gaza, then China and Russia will enter the war and very likely decimate Israel? Graham's vile hatred of humanity comes through in spades, but this is not unusual among those who are clearly demon-possessed. Sadly, almost the entire GOP now agrees with Graham and is actively working to try to start World War III in order to stop elections from taking place in November, during which Biden will catastrophically lose. Senator Graham is an America last war criminal and should be arrested and prosecuted by the ICC alongside Netanyahu, Gevir, Gallant, and others. It is lunatics like him that brought us all the previous disastrous wars, including Vietnam, and who are committed to dragging America into another war in the Middle East. And of course, Lindsey Graham wants America to nuke Iran. And he's openly called for that numerous times. So here's a perfect case for term limits. Here's a man who is a professional U.S. Senate psychopath. And he can't be dislodged from his position because he's got all the wealthy donors, the wealthy Zionist donors, the military donors, you know, the weapons companies, the banks, all of it. So no one has a chance running against him. This is why we need term limits. Senator Graham, I believe he used to be an attorney in the military, which means he should know that what he's talking about here is wildly illegal. It's illegal to use nuclear weapons against civilians. If he were in the military and gave such an order, he would be, you know, court-martialed, if not in the middle of a war, you know, something more harshly unleashed against him by probably his commanding officer to stop him in his tracks instantly, because Lindsey Graham would be carrying out a heinous crime for which there is no excuse. On top of all that, does Graham not realize that if you nuke Gaza, you get fallout all over Israel? I mean, has he not looked at the map? They're right next to each other. I mean, nuking Gaza. Well, and I guess another question is, gosh, how is Jared Kushner and all the other Zionists going to sell all their beachfront real estate in Gaza if it's all radioactive because Senator Graham wanted to nuke the place, right? If they nuke it, how are they going to sell luxury condos after they exterminate all the Palestinians? I know it's a facetious type of question to ask. I'm asking it with a sense of satire, or actually a sense of bewilderment, about how insane these people are. Senator Graham would make a lot more sense if he just told Israel to nuke itself. And then that would end the genocide. You know, that would stop all the wars in the region. That would stop the insanity. It would be no less insane of a suggestion as what Graham is suggesting himself right now. I mean, any nuke in the region would be suicide for the whole region. which is why, you know, I said that with a sense of strong satire, of just mocking the stupidity of Lindsey Graham. He's probably like, nuke Iran, you know, he just nuke Cairo, just everything. Because he's that crazy and he's that get disconnected from reality. I am thinking ahead on all of this, and I am thinking about the Nuremberg tribunals and also what happened after the Holocaust, World War II, when there was an effort to arrest and to find, to track and locate the Nazi officers who were responsible for giving the orders for the extermination of innocent people. And there were also propagandists, you know, the Joseph Goebbels of the day, who were all part of this. And there was quite an effort to seek these people out, arrest them, and bring them to justice in the world tribunals. And I am wondering if people like Senator Lindsey Graham will also be named in upcoming tribunals in the aftermath of this modern day Zionist Holocaust that's taking place. Because this is also a crime against humanity. And there are so many people who are complicit in it. And I'm seriously wondering what level of responsibility they will have to face for their complicity. Now, I already know that the propagandists, the modern day Joseph Goebbels, like Ben Shapiro, for example, they will be shamed for all of history in the aftermath of this for their crimes against humanity. They will be shamed through all of history for their complicity and their propaganda in pushing for crimes against humanity. And there are a lot of those people, of course. But I seriously wonder about people in high decision-making positions who could have said stop, who could have made a difference. Will they be held accountable? You know, it's really striking because it makes you think back to the 1930s and early 1940s when the Nazis were really, really mass murdering people, Jews at the time. And lots of German people just went right along with it. Of course, German lawmakers, German judges, German media, obviously, German scientists and so on. They went along with it. And so did plenty of Italians at the time as well. And many citizens did. They just went right along with it. They said, well, Germany has a right to defend itself, which is exactly what Israel is claiming today as it's carrying out mass bombing and genocide. And the people of Germany excused it all. And as a child studying the history of the Holocaust and the horrifying imagery, the concentration camps and so on, I remember wondering how on earth could the people have stood by and said nothing while this was going on? Well, now we have our answer. Those are people like Senator Ted Cruz, Governor Ron DeSantis, Governor Greg Abbott, Donald J. Trump, and all these other senators and GOP members who are complicit in Israel's genocide, and Senator Lindsey Graham. These people are giving us the perfect demonstration of how Nazis operated during the Third Reich without even hiding. They were operating right out in the open, saying that they needed to exterminate these animals, which is exactly what Israel says today about the Palestinians. They justified it. They made it socially acceptable. And people of apparent high stature got behind the Third Reich, just like high-powered attorneys and people of wealth today are fully in support of this Holocaust, this genocide against Gaza and the people of Palestine today. So wonder no more. If you have any questions about how the Holocaust happened and how the people didn't stop it, all you have to do is go to Breitbart.com and read their stories, because they are demonstrating extreme Nazi propaganda in 2024. Just trade the word Nazi with Zionists, and it's all the same lies. It's all the same propaganda. It's exactly the same. This is history coming back to haunt us again, and this time it's the GOP on the side of the fascists, the far-right fascists, whereas Adolf Hitler was, of course, National Socialism, you know, far left, but sometimes it's not just a spectrum, it's a circle. You know how if you go far enough to the far left, it circles back around and it becomes the far right. You know, it orbits through tyranny. Far right and far left, it's all based on tyranny. And right now, the far right, GOP, is resembling the far left Nazis and just acting like modern day Nazis in America. Very disturbing to see this happening, to see how quickly the GOP has abandoned its core principles. And those principles are supposed to include freedom of speech, obviously. Constitutionally protected speech includes speech that is not necessarily popular. It includes speech that some people don't want to hear. And it also includes the right to criticize a government, our own government or a foreign government, to criticize government leaders, to criticize government policies, and of course, to criticize the war machine that's slaughtering tens of thousands of innocent civilians, mostly women and children. Of course, we have the right to speak out against that. The GOP is willing to throw that right to the wind. Almost everyone. Not Thomas Massie, by the way. Representative Thomas Massie is really showing that he's different, which is why AIPAC is running ads to try to dislodge him. They're spending, I think, $300,000 to try to get him defeated in the primaries. That's what AIPAC does. That's what Zionist money does. They buy off everybody, and if you don't bow down to them, then they run an opponent against you to dislodge you from office. Now, Lindsey Graham knows that. Ted Cruz knows that. That's why they're loyal to the Zionists, because it's all about money. They need the Zionist money in order to fund campaign ads, and so they abandon conservative principles, sell out to the Zionist zealots, and then they vote for more genocide and more bombs and more funding for Israel to kill more people. I think they're complicit in genocide, and I'm wondering if there will be legal ramifications for any of these people who were complicit in this, just as what happened in the aftermath of the collapse of the Third Reich and Adolf Hitler. Now, Trump, for his part, is also all in on this. He's doubled down on his support for Israeli genocide. He says that he supports Israel's right to win in its war on terror. Well, by any means, does Donald Trump support Israel's right to win by using nuclear weapons? By slaughtering women and children? I support Israel's right to win. Is this winning? Killing 35,000 women and children, does Donald Trump consider that a win? How many more women and children must die for Israel to pull out the win? I would ask that of Donald Trump. Is it a 50,000 person win? Is it 100,000? Is it a million? Hey Trump, if Israel nukes Gaza and kills a million Palestinians, is that a win? Do you support Israel's right to win by using nuclear weapons and carrying out genocide? I mean, what a shameless and truly idiotic statement to say I support Israel's right to win in its war on terror. Israel is the terror, Mr. Trump. Israel is committing terror against its neighbors and against the Palestinian people. The terror regime in the Middle East that is destabilizing the region is the Zionist regime. They are terrorists. They use terror tactics. They torture prisoners to try to get them to make false confessions. That's why they tortured that doctor from the Al-Shifa hospital, tortured him and killed him. He was only 45 years old, a heart surgeon. Tortured him to death, and he never broke. He never signed a confession that said that the hospital was used as a military base by Hamas. That's what Israel was trying to get out of him. So Israel captures doctors, tortures them to death. And Donald Trump says, well, Israel has a right to win. Wow, the level of abject idiocy in that statement is off the charts insane. It'd be like saying that Hitler has a right to win if you were, you know, like an Italian political leader in 1939. Oh, well, Hitler has a right to win against its war on terror. What terror? Well, the terror from its neighbors. The Third Reich has a right to defend itself, they would say. As you can tell, I'm not happy with Trump or Senator Cruz or Governor Abbott or the GOP at this moment, because, I'm a little bit actually kind of frustrated with myself for being so gullible that I believed that these people had principles. And now I'm realizing, of course, they do not. And I should have known better, which is a Richard Marx song from the 1980s, by the way. Should have known better. Yeah. So just let that ring around through your head. We all should have known better than to believe that politicians have principles. They don't. What they have is donors. The donors drive their policies. Trump is no exception. Notice how strongly Trump has been speaking out against the students and the faculty at the universities since he met with Ron DeSantis's Zionist donors, and those donors got behind Trump and decided to put big money into Trump's campaign. And I believe, by the way, that a decision has been made, a deal has been reached to make Trump president. And this is actually the big news of today's podcast. I think Trump is going to be president. I think that Joe Biden and the Democrats are now seen by the money people as being not controllable enough. And with Biden withholding weapons from Israel, and with some of the far left Muslim candidates like Rashida Tlaib and others, Ilhan Omar, for example, the Zionist money has decided to shift to the GOP. That's what's going on right now. And you're going to see a massive shift over the next few months and on election day. And here's what it's going to look like. Virtually every GOP leader will come out all in favor of Israel. Unlimited money, unlimited weapons, unlimited assistance, even committing American troops to fight in the Middle East on behalf of Israel. In addition, the GOP will completely abandon free speech principles in America. They will abolish the First Amendment. They will use police again. They've already done this, but they'll do it again to brutally assault students and staff members and academics, professors, and so on college campuses all across America. They will turn the university campuses into thought police controlled zones with on-campus Zionist monitors and spies. This is actually being promoted by the GOP to have on-campus Zionist spies who are Zionist enforcers to make sure that no one speaks or even thinks about criticizing Israel on any college campus or university property across America. This is all going to be pushed by the GOP. They're going to come out against all Muslims. They're going to declare anyone who criticizes Israel to be a terrorist, and they're going to unleash the power of the state and the violence of the state to crush anyone who's not on board with the Zionists. They're going to weaponize the IRS. They're going to weaponize the DOJ, the FBI, all under President Trump, by the way. And they're going to use every arm of the government to go after critics of Israel in the same way that under Joe Biden, they weaponized every branch of government to go after Trump supporters, you know, and J6 protesters. Except this time, it's going to be on steroids. So the GOP is about to sweep into power, but it's only because the Zionists actually control America. America is run by Israel and Zionist money. Now, what's going to be interesting in all of this is to determine whether leftists then begin to call for freedom of speech. How funny would that be, right? Because the radical left, of course, has already abandoned freedom of speech over the last several years in order to stop any speech that they didn't like, you know, because they were triggered by the truth about the rigged elections or the truth about COVID vaccines or the truth about, you know, illegal immigration, whatever. So the left has already abandoned freedom of speech. Now the right is going to abandon freedom of speech as well. which is why it's all the same uniparty. It's a uniparty with fiat currency unicorns, like flying through the air, powered by rainbow farts, printing money on one hand and lying to you on the other, telling all kinds of Zionist lies in the skies. Like Israel was chosen by God to slaughter all other people that are not Zionists. Things like that. And Israel has a right to win. God chose them. They're the chosen ones. Everyone else is inferior, which is kind of what Adolf Hitler said. Everyone else is the inferior race. The master race must be the Zionist race. These are the chosen ones. What, you're not against God, are you? God told us to go forth and murder all these other non-Zionist people. So, I mean, this is the kind of thing you're going to hear, right? I'm mocking it, obviously. So we're about to enter a very dark time in America when college campuses will be, you know, thought police zones. They're going to be enforced. There's going to be Zionist spies on the college campuses, like I said earlier. And you won't be able to speak freely on campus anymore. And if you ask the wrong question in class, hey, professor, you know, what is the Nakba? Oh, you can't ask that. Oh, you go to jail. You're going to get expelled. You're going to be rounded up and put on an airplane and airdropped in Gaza right before the bombs hit. Like, literally, this is what the GOP is recommending right now. And this is what Trump is saying, that anybody who is on a college campus who has a student visa, let's say, who is anti-Semitic, should be expelled from the country. Trump just said that. And you might recall that earlier, Trump said that he's going to use the United States military to round up illegals and expel them out of the country. So are we going to have, this is an obvious question. Are we going to have United States military thought police enforcers on campus with their M4 rifles, and who knows what kind of armor they'll have on campus, rolling around campus with armored personnel carriers and Bradleys to enforce the speech police provisions so that nobody can speak out against Zionism. And if anybody speaks out, they will disappear into the back of a military vehicle and they'll be expelled out of the country. Is this what Trump is recommending? And the answer is yes. This is exactly what Trump is recommending. This is what Trump will turn America into.
May we see your papers?
I don't think I have them on me.
In that case, we'll have to ask you to come along.
Wait, it's possible that, yes. Here they are.
These papers expired 3 weeks ago. You have to come along.
Halt!
The bottom line is, under the GOP as is currently behaving and under Trump as he's currently behaving, when Trump wins and is installed in the White House, it's going to turn America into a fascist authoritarian regime ruled by Zionists, where the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights are null and void, and where the United States military is policing our college campuses, our universities, our streets, and of course, where government colludes with big tech to silence anyone who criticizes Israel. This is how it's all shaping up. Now, it could change. Something dramatic could happen that perhaps could smack some of these people back to their senses. But right now, that's the path that we're on. And it is a dark, dark path. This is America is descending into basically a Zionist dictatorship, which is a theocracy run by psychopathic lunatics who are mass murderers. I'm talking about Netanyahu. So that's where things are going. Now, moving on to Russia, Ukraine, the whole European situation. We've got some news that is going to be very disturbing if you know anybody living in Ukraine who is a male. Because the Ukrainian government is now warning of full mobilization. The defense ministry spokesperson, Dmitry Lazutkin, says it's the end of peaceful life until Russia is defeated, that the whole of Ukrainian society is going to have to make sacrifices and forget about their peaceful lives in order to defeat Russia. He says, quote, globally speaking, starting on May 18th, when the mobilization law comes into force, first of all, the approach to this war will change. He says, this situation where some people are fighting at the front lines while others are living their quiet lives is obviously coming to an end. And he is going to, well, he's going to try to dredge up every able-bodied person in Ukraine to send them to the front lines. Now, already 500,000 Ukrainian men, that's an estimated number, are either dead or wounded. It's actually a lot higher than that. Mass graveyards across Ukraine right now. And instead of calling for peace, Zelensky, who is a puppet of the West, is going to try to round up more and more people in Ukraine to try to fight Russia, which is not going to work, unfortunately, for them. I feel very sorry for the people of Ukraine having to suffer through being the proxy puppet of the West. This is all the fault of the U.S., by the way, thrusting Ukraine into this situation, trying to use up Ukraine to weaken Russia. That's the goal of the West. That's what Victoria Nuland was talking about. We will use Ukraine to weaken Russia. Well, at the cost of 500,000 Ukrainian lives and maybe another 500,000. And Russia isn't weaker now. Russia's stronger now. Russia's military is stronger. Russia's currency is stronger. Russia's industrial output is stronger. Putin just won re-election, very high approval ratings. And Russia is stronger than ever. Western Europe is weak. Ukraine has run out of men. The United States can't produce much industrial output, and its currency is failing. But in Ukraine, they're desperate for more men, so this is going to be a catastrophic situation here. My analysis is based on numerous interviews and information sources I've been tuned into, plus some books I'm reading. One of them by a guest that we're going to have on this coming week, I believe, is that Russia is, well, Ukraine's defenses are crumbling. They are just crumbling rapidly right now. Russia is making major gains and advances. And probably within the next 60 days, Russia is going to surge westward toward the Dnieper River, toward Kiev. I don't know if they'll ever try to take Kiev, but that's clearly where they're going. And there are other cities and towns first. But Russia is going to be attacking Odessa and seizing Odessa on the southern coast there sometime this year. And the Ukrainian military is just absolutely going to continue to crumble because it's run out of men. It's run out of equipment. It hasn't run out of money, at least not in the hands of Zelensky and his circle of clowns, but it has run out of men. And that's why they're desperate to try to bring in every able-bodied person they can, which is insane. I mean, they're destroying a generation, well, two generations of men in Ukraine. This is a cultural atrocity against the Ukrainian people. There won't even be enough men left at the end of this to have families. There would be, you know, women all over Ukraine and Europe who lost their husbands, lost their boyfriends, lost their brothers or fathers or sons in this war. And you can't just wave a magic wand and replace that. So this is the United States of America forcing Ukraine through the 2014 coup, the installation of Zelensky, and then controlling Zelensky as a puppet. This is the United States of America committing essentially an atrocity against the Ukrainian people by forcing them to fight and die against Russia, and it's not even working. Russia has essentially defeated Ukraine, and there's nothing that Ukraine can do at this point to stop Russia's advances. F-16s aren't going to make the difference. There's not some super secret tank, stealth weapon. Nothing is going to make the difference. Even billions of dollars won't make the difference. Russia is going to defeat Ukraine, and it's probably going to happen this calendar year. Now, Ukraine keeps lowering the draft age. Now it's being lowered to the age of 25. Won't be long before that's lowered to 20 and then, you know, 18 and then 15. And they're going to have, you know, prepubescent young men dying on the front lines and then young women as well. That's where this is going because of the sheer desperation. Now, because the West is so desperate to stop Russia and to keep Ukraine as sort of NATO allied territory, there's no doubt in my mind that NATO troops are going to start being dispatched to Ukraine in larger and larger numbers, especially as we approach the summer. By the fall, we're going to be in a full-blown war. The United States will be at war with Russia. NATO will be at war with Russia directly. And it's hard to imagine how we avoid nuclear war in this because Russia has already promised that if NATO troops show up in Ukraine, like uniformed troops of the UK or France or Germany or the United States or other NATO countries, then Russia is going to nuke those countries, the countries from which those soldiers came. And they've already promised to do this through Medvedev. Already promised. Shoigu has just been replaced, by the way, because of the new election there. Shakeup of all the ministers and defense minister in that case. Medvedev is still with the Putin administration, but Shoigu is being replaced with somebody else who is apparently younger and more innovative and probably more adept at integrating technology and drone tech and, you know, things like that into the modern battlefield, which is very high tech, actually, surprisingly so. It's not just artillery. It's a lot of drone work and thermal cameras and coming up like robotic land vehicles, robotic tanks and so on. So there's a lot of high tech aspects to this. So Putin chose a new younger defense minister. As I understand it, Shoigu is out. And Russia is digging in for the long haul here. Russia has recruited, you know, 1+ million more soldiers, you know, in the last, I forgot how many months it's been, but they've got a military that's over 1 million men and growing. They've got tens of thousands of volunteers every month joining the Russian military. And the West can't manufacture enough ammunition to fight. And the West is relying on outdated equipment. And the West has no hypersonic missiles, and its air defense systems suck, like the Patriot missile system. But Russia has promised to nuke Western nations if those nations deploy soldiers into Ukraine. So here's the question. How far away is it that France dispatches, I don't know, 10,000 soldiers to the front lines of Ukraine? Probably not that far away. Or that the United States sends, I don't know, 20,000, 40,000, 50,000 American soldiers to Ukraine to fight Russia. That's probably not far off. No doubt Biden wants to declare World War III. When that happens, you'll have no warning before the nukes start raining down on Washington, D.C. and New York City and Colorado Springs, Chicago, L.A. No warning. No defenses, America will be nuked. That's Russia's promise. The UK will be nuked. France will be nuked. Germany will be nuked. And other countries as well. And NATO thinks Russia's bluffing because NATO does nothing but bluff all the time. But Russia's not bluffing. Russia has already deemed this to be an existential threat. Russia knows that they're dealing with lunatic, power-hungry psychopaths from the West, who do not engage in diplomacy, do not engage in negotiations, have no understanding of history, and aren't willing to give up a global hegemonic control by the U.S. empire, even though things are rapidly shifting into a multipolar world. But the West isn't willing to give it up, which means the West is going to end up being nuked. And that's going to be the wake-up call, by the way. The nuclear wake-up call. Giant mushroom cloud, kaboom. Oh, maybe we should change our behavior. You know, that's what's coming. Nobody from the Western nations, nobody from Ukraine, NATO, Western Europe, US, wants peace. They want to keep fighting until the nukes start flying. That's what they're committed to doing. And that's the path they've put us on. Russia has been restrained, not using its most advanced weapons, not striking European military bases yet. But Russia's restraint has limits. And if the West starts deploying troops and equipment into Ukraine, then be prepared to duck and cover, folks. Get out your basement bunker and your Geiger counter meters. And get your potassium iodide ready, because it's going to start raining missiles. And I would guess that Russia's first nuclear targets would be Paris and other key cities in France because of the lunatic Macron and the things that he has threatened to do. Now he's trying to backpedal right now. He's claiming that France is the peace power in the region, that he just needs peace. Sounds like Israel. Oh, we have the right to self-defense. Keep bombing Gazans. That's France. We're going to achieve peace by defeating Russia. See, that's how it goes. And then Russia says, no, you're not. Here, eat some nukes. Have a nuke sandwich. Have a foot-long nuke sub. How about that? And kaboom, blambity-blam, mushroom clouds all over France. That's a very likely scenario at this point. And Macron is just like other leaders of Europe, is leading their country into a suicide scenario. All right, we're going to jump into the interview here in a minute. First, a reminder that the Healing Genesis program at Brighteon University is playing all week. It started 2 days ago on Saturday. So if you didn't tune in, you missed the first two episodes, but you can still pick up on episode 3 today, episode 4 tomorrow, and so on. Go to brightu.com. That's the word bright followed by the letter U, brightu.com. Register to watch the program for free, or you can purchase the entire digital program and download it if you wish and watch it anytime you want. It's called Healing Genesis, and it's very valuable. It features, I think, 50 different health experts and naturopaths and so on who have some really cutting-edge solutions for radical healing and spontaneous healing. It's definitely worth a look. Again, brightu.com. For your nutritional needs, superfoods, certified organic storable foods that are also lab-tested, personal care products, and more, check out our online store, healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for your support there. We've got many hundreds of products for you to check out that can benefit your health and improve your life in all kinds of different ways. So again, healthrangerstore.com. Now, we're going to do an interview with Butch Carmack. Hello and welcome. This is Mike Adams with Brighteon.com, and we're about to do something different. We're going to be interviewing a man who is running for a county commissioner in Bastrop County, Texas, which is part of Central Texas. It's a very popular area. It's just east of the new Tesla facility that's on the east side of Austin. And Butch Carmack is a regular guy. He's been a business owner in the county for many years. And it turns out I saw his name when I was voting in the primaries. And I recognized it because I had heard that he was the pro-freedom candidate, that he didn't want to raise taxes. And he, you know, wanted to preserve the values of rural Texas. And so I voted for him in the primary. And then I decided to reach out to him and invite him in for an interview. I normally don't cover local politics, but I actually wanted to interview Butch Carmack because I wanted to find out what's happening at the local county level in terms of emergency preparedness for global events or national events, things like the dollar collapse scenario or power grid failures, which we experienced in Texas, you know, not too many years ago because of a cold wave, or emergency preparedness. Like in Central Texas, we had the Lost Pines fires in 2011 that were rather devastating. But how strong is county level resilience? How strong are local communities? And I know this interview doesn't answer this question for every county all across America, but it's a nice view into the kind of thinking and action that's happening at the local level. Now, this man, Butch Carmack, He's not a professional politician. So don't expect him to talk like one. He doesn't. He's not a spin doctor. He's not a public relations professional. He doesn't give professional speeches. He's a regular guy who owned retail establishments, you know, built them up, worked long hours in the county. And by the way, this interview is the first time that I met him in person. I did not know him before this, but he's got a website called butch4bastropcounty.com, where the four is the numeral four. So butch4bastropcounty.com. Now, just to give you a heads up, if you're listening from outside the state of Texas, yes, he talks Texan. Yes, that should be expected. He's been in the county 21 years. He's a third generation Texan. He loves Texas. He loves Texas values. He loves family values and so on. And I asked him questions about transgenderism and things like that. And we had a good round of laughter on that. But I just want you to understand, this is not a man who is a polished speaker. So lend him a little bit of understanding on that front. And also, just a warning up front, I'm pretty sure I'm the only one who ever asked him the questions that you're about to hear. These are not questions that you normally get asked in local elections. You know, the kinds of questions that I ask are like, hey, what happens when the dollar collapses? How will people get food and fuel in the county? How will you keep the roads safe? What are you going to do about the zombie wave of refugees fleeing Austin as the city collapses? Like, questions like that, right? You're not going to get these questions anywhere else, and certainly not from mainstream media. But I think it's important to ask these questions. And I think that wherever you are, in America or elsewhere, it's good to ask your local representatives these very questions and to ask them where they stand on these issues. Like, what about, you know, gay pornography books in the children's library at the public school? What are they going to do about that? Are they going to take a stand for protecting children from transgenderism grooming? Or are they just going to, you know, lay back and, oh, love wins at any age, you know, that kind of thing? Yeah. Well, that's not Butch, by the way. Butch is not an LGBT advocate. He's a pro-family values candidate, and he says he won't raise taxes. But I did stump him on a couple of questions. So, you know, just things, again, that he had not perhaps heard before. But I know now he's thinking about some of these things. And what really matters, I think, locally is, do you have people with values? Do you have people who were raised right, who know the difference between right and wrong, and who are willing to take a stand against evil and actually protect families, protect children, protect the values that not only made America great, but that also make Texas great today? Values like freedom and liberty, entrepreneurism, and also taking responsibility for the direction of our communities. So with that said, give the man a little bit of patience here, because this was probably the craziest interview that he's ever endured, I would imagine. But it's Butch Carmack for Bastrop County Commissioner, Precinct 1. So give it a listen. Welcome to today's interview here on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. As you know, we're located in Central Texas. And I have with me in studio today, first time guest, a man who's running for county commissioner for the county of Bastrop, Texas, which is located just east of Austin. And it's a rural county that has a lot of great patriotic Americans. And our guest today is going to tell us about, well, issues affecting not just Texas, but the whole country. So welcome, Mr. Carmack. Butch Carmack, it's great to have you on the show today.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate you having me.
And in full disclosure, I did vote for you, by the way, in the primaries not long ago. And I didn't even know you, but I knew what you stood for, so that's why I voted for you. And your website is, what is it, butch4bastropcounty.com?
Yep.
With the numeral four.
Number four.
Yep. Okay, we're showing that here, butch4bastropcounty.com. All right, so Butch, welcome. Great to have you here. You met my dog. He liked you too. So far, so good.
Judge of character, man.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just start with basics. Tell us a little bit about yourself and also the role of county commissioner. And so why you're running, who you are and why you're running.
Well, I'm third generation Texan, you know, so I bleed Texas. basically. Been here in Bastrop for 22 years, small business owner here. When our current county commissioner decided he was going to retire, I told him probably 2 years ago, I'm going to do this because I was afraid if I didn't, you know, what we might get in that office and in our county, running our county, and, you know. So I decided I'd step up and go for it.
Well, thank you for stepping up. We need real people to step up here instead of all these sort of foreign-funded imposters who don't have the values that we cherish here
right,
in Texas.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
All about preserving what we've got.
So what does county commissioner do, really, in this county?
You know, the state of Texas does not set your taxes. Your taxes are set by your city council, your school board, and your county commissioner. So setting the tax rate, one thing the county commissioner does, then they're in charge of the infrastructure in their precinct for the county, and that includes the roads and the buildings and the employees and, you know, all that kind of thing.
So a lot of budgetary considerations,
budgetary,
a lot of accounting.
Yeah absolutely.
Can the county print endless money like the federal government?
I don't think so.
If they could, that would be a nightmare. So does the county, can the county borrow money, issue bonds?
How they can do bonds, yeah. They can go out for bonds and my mind went blank. Grants.
Yeah. And, from grants from the federal government?
Right.
Or from the state?
From the state, I believe.
Okay.
And, you know, they do get money to fund some of their projects that way, as well. Of course, on a bond, obviously, it's got to be you've got to hold an election to pass a bond.
Yes.
So that would be
something
the people would decide on, you know.
Absolutely. Now, tell our audience about what are your values? And I mean, don't hold back, because today people want to know what are the principles of those that they're voting for or against? What do you stand for? What about the core values like, you know, I mean, let's talk about the Bill of Rights. You know, where do you stand? First Amendment, Second Amendment,
Second
Fourth
Amendment.
Amendment.
You know, everybody, I think everybody's going to stand for that Second Amendment, that
yes.
come and take it mentality.
Yeah.
I think...
We're all armed here, of course, you can imagine.
Paxton told the president yesterday to come and take it on something. He sued him over some legislation they're trying to pass on that Second Amendment.
Yes. So,
absolutely.
What about the First Amendment?
God bless, you know, all the absolute freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, but I mean, freedom of speech for everybody or freedom of speech just for people with whom we agree?
Well, the Constitution doesn't say just a few people. It says for everybody.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm glad to hear that because, of course, I'm a free speech advocate as well.
Right.
And a Second Amendment advocate, Fourth Amendment advocate. But I feel like... At the county level, it's really critical to have good local law enforcement, to have a good local economy.
Right.
But we're being dictated to by the Biden regime.
Yep.
Constantly trying to override our values and force, for example, cross-dressing men into women's restrooms, things like that.
Right.
Where do you stand on those kinds of the federal overreach issues?
Well, you know... Everybody wants less government in their life, and we have, as far as men dressing up like a woman and going into the women's bathroom, small town USA, that's not going to get you, that might get you in trouble, you know?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think over in Smithville Jamboree last month, some guy got in trouble over there for looking at a little girl inappropriately, and I think they ejected him out of that,
is that right?
Festival over there.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. So
but
that's kind of core value. You know, small town.
Yeah.
You protect your women, and you protect your, there's one person that you lay your life down for. And house, she's a little blonde-headed girl about yay big.
I'm right there with you on that. But how does that translate into funding and local legislation and local law enforcement? For example, let me ask you, so as a county commissioner, you would be coordinating with local law enforcement and sheriffs and city cops. And how does that work? What's your relationship as a county commissioner with law enforcement?
I've been actually, our sheriff and I have had many, many conversations on this subject and getting him more funding. And one of the things that I've been talking to our sheriff recently is about, we have become like a training facility. We are training these officers and they are going off to other better paying jobs someplace. So it's just like a revolving door.
Oh, so
costing the taxpayer.
So the local county is spending the money to get to take young men mostly,
right.
Get them trained up, yeah. Get them law enforcement experience, yeah. And then they just shop their resume around to other cities.
Right.
I see.
So officer retention would be a huge thing.
Yes.
To start working on and getting, and then of course there's some infrastructure stuff with our county jail and stuff. There's some issues that need to be up, you know.
Well, I know for a fact that the jail in Bastrop County is completely full.
Yeah.
And I also know for a fact that the reason that more violent illegals aren't being arrested is because the jails are full and because the federal government won't take those illegals off the hands of local law enforcement and process them and deport them.
Right.
So how does a county solve that problem if the federal government doesn't want illegals to be kicked out of the country. They right. want them here causing violence.
Absolutely.
Right? How do we address that?
You know, I don't know. How do you say this without being really ugly? If it was me, I'd send them all out of the county. Send them to freaking Austin, you know. So they seem to want them.
Well, Governor Abbott is doing that at the state level.
Right.
Right? So he's taking illegals in Texas and shipping them off to Chicago and Denver.
Right.
And then Denver is having this massive crisis. Oh, hey, I thought you were a sanctuary city, Denver.
Right.
Aren't you getting what you asked for?
Yeah.
And now they're complaining about it.
Right. Yeah, it's fine as long as they don't have to deal with it.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But you're saying maybe that could be done on a county level?
I would be in favor of it. If that's something that's legal or not, or obviously there's money in the budget for that, you know.
Yeah.
Which
bus tickets.
There's not, but,
yeah.
You know, it's right now it's just an idea or a wish list, you know.
I was struck by an illegal driver on the highway a few years back, rear-ended. No insurance, no driver's license. Nothing could be done about it.
Yep. You should be
able to press
charges against that guy.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Well, he just destroyed your property, and now you got to pay your deductible.
That's right.
And this guy just got free.
That's right. That's exactly what happened.
I mean, in my opinion, you should be able to press charges against him.
Yes. So you would support local law enforcement getting more aggressive against illegals who are violating driving laws?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think that the Bastrop County Sheriff also supports that effort as well.
Right.
What about the new Texas law that allows law enforcement in Texas to arrest and deport illegals based on trespassing? Now, I know the DOJ is suing Texas over that law. I know that AG Ken Paxton is working to defend that law.
Right.
Thank God for Ken Paxton, right?
Right.
What's your take on it as a potential county commissioner?
I'm 100% with it. If they should be arrested and deported. They don't belong here. They're coming here illegally. They're not going through the correct process
right.
to get here. You know, they're sneaking across, and now we're supposed to pay for them once they get here? No.
Yeah.
And they need to go back.
Yes. I'm just wondering why doesn't Texas just put them on a bus and ship them back and tell the federal government to go pound sand?
I'm not sure what to.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. What are you going to do?
Instead of sending them to Chicago, send them right back across the border.
Exactly. The border is closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably cost less money.
Probably cost less money. Yeah. Exactly.
Mexican government probably don't want them back over there.
Well, and some of them are from, you know, prisons in Venezuela.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But I'm also wondering, you know, what about at some point you're going to have more, I would think, attempted like squatters, like illegals coming in and trying to
right.
take over people's homes when they're off on a vacation or something.
Right. Yep.
That's going to happen.
There needs to be a law protecting people's homes against that kind of thing, where there's not right now.
Well, I believe in Texas there is. I mean, that law exists, but I think it comes down to local law enforcement to...
Is that what it is? Because I see it on the news all the time where somebody's gone into somebody's house and broke the back door open and squatted, and then they can't get them out.
Well, I know in Arizona, the governor, who was not elected but installed there, just vetoed a law that would have given more rights to property owners to evict the squatters.
Right.
So the Democrat governor of Arizona is pro-squatting. And we're not talking about at a gym.
Right.
She's like, she's all in for squatters. But let me ask you some bigger picture questions. I mean, you've already established, you're part of the community. You have local, small town family values.
Right.
You believe in liberty.
Yep.
Second Amendment, the right to self-defense. You believe in getting rid of the illegals as they are caught committing crimes. And I think that position is very difficult for people to argue with. I mean, I think most Americans support what you just said. So what about local industry? So if you become county commissioner of Bastrop County and speak to our wider audience, because, we have people all over the country and all over the world watching this, what would you do locally to encourage local resiliency, what we call anti-fragile supply chains? Because we don't want to depend on just one big corporation in some other state to ship everything to us by truck.
Right.
How do we become more self-reliant with food, with manufacturing, with industry, all these products and services that we need to live?
Well, one of the things that I have been campaigning on is the one way to fight the blue wave that's coming at us is by creating conservative jobs. I come from up there where I'm from, Northeast Texas. Obviously, it's an oil field country.
Well, yes.
Those guys are all conservative.
Yes.
Building a Samsung plant over here in Taylor, that's going to be not conservative people working there. So we need to create conservative jobs in this county.
What kind of jobs are conservative jobs? I mean, oil you mentioned, but what else?
Oil field, any kind of blue collar job, is going to be a conservative person. Those are hardworking, the guys get things done. There was actually a Slitz Brewery up there where I'm from.
Oh.
That, Stroh's Bottom, and it eventually closed down. But, along with that, there was a company called Continental Can that canned the beer. So now you got two huge manufacturing, and those are all blue-collar conservative people.
Yeah.
That's the type of thing we need to bring here.
Right.
If we bring more conservative people to offset the non-conservatives that are moving here, then we can probably hold our county. Because if we don't, we've sat here and watched Williamson County turn blue over the past 10 or 15 years, just slowly turn blue.
And what has been the repercussions from that?
Well, I think the people up there could probably tell you that more than I could, because they're the ones having to change their way of life. They've lived there their whole lives.
Yeah. But if Bastrop County turned blue, how do you think that would impact Bastrop County? You're talking about they would defund the police, there would be more crime. What are you talking about?
Well, again, it goes back to your district attorney. You're going to have a sympathetic district attorney at that point.
Yeah.
Because I don't think... Well, first you'd have to vote this one that we got out. He's been in there a while, and I think he's got his foot in the door pretty good. So
Yeah, he's well-established and I think well-respected.
Right.
Yeah.
Should you get your liberal district attorney in here, then everything's going to be lenient,
Well, lenient against the illegals, but selectively prosecuted against conservatives and Americans.
Right. Yeah.
Because they just pick and choose what laws they want to enforce against which people. That's the way left-wing DAs operate.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So they'll take a murderer, put him back on the street, but they'll prosecute you for defending your family against that murderer.
Or indict 19 police officers for doing their job.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't, in my mind, I don't know how anybody would want to be a police officer in Austin, Texas, the way they get treated.
I can't imagine it.
No.
And we're pro law enforcement here.
Right.
We support law enforcement, but I'm right there with you, because you're going to get, if you do your job as a police officer, you're going to be on camera. They're going to selectively edit it.
Yeah.
And then they're going to maybe criminally charge you
right.
for doing your job.
For doing your job.
Right.
Yeah. 100%. So, yeah, how do you go to work every day trying to do the right thing, knowing that you may get in trouble for doing it? You
know? Exactly. So would the county then, if you're the county commissioner, would the county have any budget for incentives to attract the kind of companies that would bring in more blue-collar workers?
I would think you would have to start with, obviously, one county commissioner. There's four commissioners and then the judge. So there's five total to have to make that decision. So you would have to get with the other four.
Yeah.
You know, and say, hey, let's go after some of this stuff and see if we can't get some manufacturing jobs in here to create the right kind of people, you know.
Yeah, right.
Now you got somebody making $70,000, $80,000 a year that's going to add to your local economy. And,
right.
you know, you get 200 of those people. Now you got a
yes.
pretty good deal going there.
Well, let me relay this to you. So my companies here they create lots of jobs, you know, many dozens of jobs.
Right.
Some of them pay well over $100,000 a year.
Right.
And we did all that without any help from government whatsoever. All we wanted was a place where government wouldn't interfere with our business. And that's why Central Texas is such a good choice.
Right.
Because for the most part, the government in Central Texas, I mean, yeah, they're going to enforce it. If you're doing something crazy, like violating, you know, dumping toxins in the stream, yeah, you're going to get fined. But for the most part, they leave you alone. As a business owner, and you've been a business owner in the county, didn't you mostly just want to be left alone by government to grow your business?
Being in the business I was in, there's a lot of governmental regulations. You've always got
that's true.
You know, the state watching what you're doing. As a matter of fact, I just had an audit last week that they came in and, of course, passed that audit. I've been doing it for 100 years now. So, you know, and at the same time, when those people come in, you just treat them like a human being.
Yes.
They're gonna come in, do what they got to do, and leave. You know, if you get with a state agency like that, if you come in there and get all nervous and try to act crazy, then they're going to start looking a little harder at what you're doing. So.
Right. Right. No, I get that. And we have, for example, the Texas Health Department does right. surprise audits and the FDA does surprise audits right. of our facility. And at the end of the audit, they say, wow, we wish everybody would operate like you.
Yeah.
You know,
because exactly.
we do a good job. We're very quality minded. But the county can put in barriers to new construction, watershed planning.
Right.
And it's become more difficult. Compared to the way it was 10 years ago. Is that just a result of the natural population density growth?
The density, yeah, and that's one of the things we really, really need to take a look at is density out in the rural counties.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like there's a water problem. We're running out of water, plain and simple.
People are stealing our water.
Yeah,
that's part of the problem.
Right, right.
I mean...
Yeah, you got San Antonio wanting all of our...
Yes, these big cities want the county water.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So there needs to be, there was a bill introduced last session that would have given the commissioners more authority over density, but that bill never made it to the floor.
Uh-huh.
So we need to get that looked at.
I see.
You know?
Yeah.
All the commissioners and it had to do with surrounding counties where there was a population of 1 million, I think.
Uh-huh.
Any county that surrounded that, give those commissioners more power over density, I guess you could say. And all the other commissioners in those counties all over the state were in favor of this, and it never got anywhere. So
I see.
We need to get that reintroduced.
And the tax base is rising in Bastrop County because more people are moving in.
Right. Yeah.
Property prices have gone up substantially
right.
in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
How much has the take, you know, the revenue to the county really increase?
A ton because of the pricing of houses. You know, actually,
right.
your tax rate should be going down.
You would think.
Because of the influx of the how much the home values
right.
are.
Right,
you know, so there should be quite a bit of a tax reduction.
Is there an excess amount of revenue in
I'm
the budget?
I'm not sure, man. Without getting in there, I don't know what's in there.
Honestly. Okay. Because I do know that when Tesla moved in and built that big factory just on the east side of Austin,
right,
a lot of Tesla employees bought housing in Bastrop County.
Right.
But then Tesla just laid off 2,500 of those people. And because the EV car sales aren't going so great,
right,
it turns out people prefer diesel.
Right.
I'm not buying an EV.
No.
I'm running diesel, you know?
That's like the whole drain on our electric grid every year. And, you know, I got to turn my thermostat up in my house so you can charge your car.
Right.
No.
No, but that's a really important question. So the federal government mandates, now the EPA with overreach, is mandating phasing out of all combustion engines by the year 2035.
Right.
I mean, for vehicles.
Right.
That would mean that people who are right now buying gas cars are going to be forced to buy EVs that barely work. And then the power grid of the county,
right,
would have this massive new demand load placed upon it.
Right.
Doesn't that mean the county is going to have to spend millions of dollars? Blue Bonnet, the electric co-op,
right,
would be forced to spend all this money. The county would be forced to spend money to appease a federal EV car mandate.
Right. Yeah. Something that's... They're not going to be able to do away with fossil fuel. I don't know how they think they're getting away with not having fossil fuels. Are they just not wanting people to know that you're still going to have to depend on those fossil fuels, or are they just...
Well, I mean...
Where's the lie there?
My conclusion is that at some point, the state of Texas is going to have to tell the federal government to go pound sand.
Right.
Because we need an economy that functions. And I was just interviewing a guest before you came here today, a PhD, an author, who said that there's a near-perfect correlation between the availability of energy and the growth of a domestic economy. Right?
Right.
So, you know, as a business owner, if you want to build a small business, if you can't get power for air conditioning and heating and to run the lights, then you can't build a business.
Right.
And a lot of that power comes from fossil fuels.
Yeah.
And your business was involved distribution of products, so you need trucks.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So you got to have fuel for the trucks.
Yep.
You can't wait 12 hours for your truck to charge in the middle of a delivery route, right?
Right.
So doesn't it mean that the states that go along with the federal government will economically collapse if they don't have combustion engines?
Yep.
I mean, isn't that collision inevitable?
Look at the whole series that has to take place to make that lithium battery.
Yes.
You know, and how much fossil fuel it takes to make that lithium battery.
That's right.
So.
And water.
And
a lot of water.
And, you know, the plastic. That plastic right there comes from fossil fuel.
Yeah.
I don't know if people understand that or not, you know. But either polyethylene or polypropylene, that comes from fossil fuel.
Yeah.
Ethane or propane, you know.
That's right. So, and the polyester clothing that people wear.
Exactly.
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah, all of it.
Right.
So I've
been looking around the county. I have yet to see a battery-powered tractor.
I hadn't seen one of those yet either.
I've seen a lot of tractors. They're all burning diesel.
Yeah. I would like to find the first farmer you can get to talk him into buying one of these electric tractors.
Yeah. You get to farm, you get to plow for about 2 minutes, and then you have to plug it in for 20 hours.
Right.
Yeah. That's how that would roll. And it costs $500,000, right? Right. But the reason I'm asking all this, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I mean, you are running for office.
Right.
Is that at some point, and I don't think that county leaders and even state leaders realize this yet, at some point, secession becomes part of a conversation, because you can't exist as an economy if you keep following these suicidal anti-energy mandates that are being forced upon us by the EPA.
Right. Yeah, in my younger life, I worked at a refinery.
Did you?
Yeah. And that's part of some of the blue-collar stuff I was talking about, you know? And the upper management in that refinery bought some of the wrong type of crude oil. There's something called sour crude that's got a lot of toxic fumes in it. Well, they they didn't have the facility to store that sour crude. And so the smell gets out. This rotten egg smell got out.
High sulfur, yeah.
And a lot of people complained about it. Well, at the time it was called the TNRCC. Now it's called the TECQ or whatever.
Uh-huh, right.
They came over and they flew over constantly, took air samples, water samples, every kind of sample. That refinery was never out of compliance other than the smell.
Uh-huh.
And they wind up shutting that refinery down and put 200 people out of work because of the smell. Never out of compliance, just smelled bad.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, never gave it time to address the problem and get the smell under control or nothing.
Uh-huh.
Shut it down, put everybody out of work.
Right.
So that's the type of thing that, to me, as far as the federal government going after our fossil fuel thing.
Right.
They need to worry about, you know, what's going on in Washington, D.C.
Well, an even bigger example from what you just said is recently the Biden administration through the EPA put in a ban on LNG exports.
Right.
So that strongly affects Texas and natural gas production.
And they just shut down a bunch of drilling in Alaska.
Yes.
As well.
Yes. So. And the XL pipeline was shut down by Biden.
Right.
The first day that he stole the White House.
Right. Yeah. And shut down any drilling in any national forest in the United States.
Right.
Same day.
Right.
And then they want to wonder why the fuel prices are so high.
Well, right. I mean, and I had a guest on here, a man who's running for the governor of Utah, and informed me I think it's 75 or almost 80% of the state of Utah is claimed by the federal government.
Right.
So you don't even have control of your own state. Now, I know there are so-called federal lands also here in Texas.
Right.
I don't know what percentage that is. It's probably not as high. But Texas doesn't have control over Texas, not all of it.
No. No. And, you know, you got Chinese down there buying up a bunch of Texas, too.
Yeah, like near the military bases, too.
Yeah.
Some strategic purchases, perhaps, for surveillance of our military assets.
That, and they're drilling for oil down there, too. So.
Oh, yeah, I did see a story about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're not in the world that we grew up in.
No, not at all.
Right? There are real threats against America, threats against Texas, threats against the people of this county and many other counties. But I feel like our leadership is behind the curve on recognizing this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where our leadership went wrong. You know, they took the prayer out of the school. They took the Pledge of Allegiance out of the school. They took the paddle out of the school. You know, to me, it all goes back to the school. You're teaching your children to come up. That's not the same, like you just said, when we were growing up.
Yeah. We didn't have drag queen story time hour
we
in
didn't.
The school
you
know, library.
You went to school with your shotgun in the truck because you've been squirrel hunting that morning.
Right.
You know,
right.
Never thought one time ever to pull that thing out because you knew the consequences for your actions.
Yeah.
You know, never thought. I mean, you might have got your nose bloodied by your buddy or something, but you never one time thought about going and getting your gun.
No.
You know?
No.
It's just a different world. I don't know where it went wrong.
Yeah.
But it starts in the school. And if you don't get them kids taught right, they're going to grow up wrong.
Absolutely. No question about that. But you know, raising children right also depends on pro-family values, which are being destroyed by the government and the establishment, the culture.
Yep.
I mean, even if you have strong family values locally, your kids are watching, you know, demonic transgender Netflix videos.
Oh, no.
Right?
The dang cartoons are cussing on the, you know.
Yeah.
Tom and Jerry never cussed that I could remember, you know.
No. We had a lot of violence in Roadrunner, but it was all cartoon violence. Yeah.
Right, right.
Right.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get why. And you know, when we were growing up, we were outside playing football or kickball or chase or hide and seek, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what these kids do these days.
Well, they're just on their phones all the time. No, they don't go outside, most of them.
So
let me ask you about homeschooling then, because homeschooling, I think, is the best kind of education that a child can get right now. It's usually a pro-family, sometimes pro-Christian homeschooling organizations.
Right.
Very strong homeschooling movement in Texas. But there are efforts federally by the Department of Education to attack homeschooling. And sometimes there are efforts in certain counties or certain cities. How would you help support homeschooling if you're county commissioner?
You know, the people should have the right to choose where they want, where their kids go to school.
Yes.
You know, and I think that goes back to the school, like we were just talking about. The federal government can't control those kids if they're being homeschooled. They can't push their agenda on them and giving them their gender name and whatever else, you
right.
know. And the whole homeschooling thing is a big deal, you know, and it's good for the kids.
It is good for the kids.
And
I think
the
best kids come out of homeschooling. I mean, in terms of real life, hands-on experience, often they're raising animals on a farm, and they're just better educated and they have better values.
Right, and you got somebody giving them more quality time.
Yes.
Than just one teacher up there with 30 kids in the room.
True.
And talking about that school, you know, they're having that school board election right now.
Yeah.
You know, and that subject came up about putting chaplains in the church. I mean, in the church, in the school. And our school board shot that down. And it wasn't because they don't want the chaplains in the school. It was that it was worded where you could have, the Christians could have their chaplain in there, so could the gays, so could the Muslims, so could, you know, that's the way
the
it was
Satanists.
Worded. If you open it up, you open it up for everybody.
I see, yeah.
So they shot it down. Well, now one of the guys that's actually rerunning for the school board, they're all hot and heavy to get him out of there because he said no to the chaplain in church. And it wasn't that he said no to that. It was that he said no to all of it. We don't want the rainbow preacher in here. We don't want the, you know,
because the Satanists, they like to build like satanic statues at the state capitol buildings all over the country, right?
Right.
Claiming it's their freedom of religion.
Right.
Because to them, their God is Satan. You know,
that's who they
worship.
And do you want that in your school?
No way.
So, you know, yeah, you opened it. You're opening the door for way more than what it was.
Yeah.
What you're thinking in your mind.
True. But what about all the pornographic material in the school libraries right now that the young students are often exposed to? I don't know if that's happening in Bastrop County, but it's happening in Texas. It's happening in Travis County, no doubt. I mean, you know, pornographic gay scenes in the children's books.
Yeah, that would not be happening on my watch. So I don't know. You know, obviously that's probably something that is welcome in Austin. I don't know.
Probably.
You know, out here in the country, we're not too much. What was that movie where they were burning the library books? Back in the
Footloose. Oh, yeah.
Remember that Footloose movie where they...
Oh, yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
They got all the books out and would burn them in 55-gallon drum.
Yeah, Fahrenheit 451 also, yeah. Exactly.
So...
Yeah, but maybe we do need to burn the pornographic books from the children's libraries, right? But then the groomers and the pedophiles always say, oh, you're involved in book burning.
Right.
Well,
then
there
comes the whole freedom of speech.
We're getting the books out that are hard. I mean, freedom of speech doesn't give somebody the right to teach pornography to an 8-year-old.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, that all goes down to interpretation of how people interpret it.
Which is about the values, right?
Right. Our founding fathers weren't thinking 200 years later, this is the way this is going to be interpreted.
No, they couldn't have imagined what it has become.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, how do you, and it's the same thing about we were talking about earlier about the getting audited by a state agency. Every one of those people that comes in and audits me has got their different interpretation of what the law is and what they want to see when they come in my store.
Yeah, true. Know? Exactly.
A lot of that goes down to how they think, how that or group or person or whatever, how they interpret that. that law.
Right, right. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because it comes down to, can we the people have faith that those who are in government are acting in good faith to carry out the spirit of maybe a regulatory question, rather than government being weaponized and unleashed punitively against the people, which I would argue that's what the federal government has become now, is a weaponized bastardization of representational government.
Yes.
That's now being used as a bludgeon against the people, including against the farmers in Texas, the EPA, against the businesses. You know, it's a weapon against the people.
Right. Anybody that doesn't agree with their values or their agenda, you know.
Right, which is a suicidal agenda, by the way, of national destruction.
Right.
If you take out the energy system, you lose your nation.
Right. Well, you know, going back to Texas, at one point we had control of all the energy and all the... We were pretty much self-sustained if we wanted to be.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to dismantle that best they can.
Well, clearly, but maybe we'll get Joe Biden out of the way here coming in the next election.
Let's hope.
And maybe get somebody in who might be a little more pro-America.
Let's hope.
Possibly. We'll see.
Well, you know, we tried that in 2020, and these ballots kept showing up in the middle of the night.
America voted for Trump.
Right.
You know, Trump won in 20, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's obvious at this point. Trump won the election. Okay, in wrapping this up, first of all, thank you for having the patience with my questions. I know that I probably ask questions that nobody else asks.
Well, thank you for putting up with my, you know, country redneck not having the most appropriate answers to your questions.
No, you're a real local Texan. You're part of the community. You represent the values that Texas honors. And it's not your job every day to think about the end of the world and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I appreciate you putting up with me asking these kinds of questions. But is there anything else that you want to say in summary, you know, for your campaign or what you're going to do for the county as county commissioner, you know, just to kind of wrap up?
Well, you know, the biggest thing on my campaign is the density, obviously, and the growth.
Yes.
And trying to keep it as controlled as we can, whereas my opponent, you know, is being funded by developers, even on her own invitation to one of her fundraisers. It says right here that she is being funded by large-scale commercial and residential developers.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I'm not taking any money from no developers or, you know, commercial or residential.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to protect our values. And that's our small town country way of life.
Yes.
And that's the way we want to keep it here.
And I would add that I think that's the only way of life that's actually long-term sustainable for our nation. Because what they're doing in the cities is
not
self-destructive.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first moved to Texas, I used to enjoy driving to Austin. Now I avoid it like the plague.
Yeah, I don't go in there twice a year, maybe.
Right.
You know, so it's just not inviting.
No.
You know, 30 years ago, you could walk right into the Capitol building and look around. I don't think you can get in there now, can you? Without, I haven't been in forever.
I don't know. I haven't been there in a while.
The Capitol building anymore.
I would imagine you still could get in, but who knows what kind of security and everything.
Right.
Last time I was there, I was carrying, and I had my concealed carry, and then let you in with a firearm. But that was many years ago.
Right.
I don't know about now.
Yeah, I hadn't been in a while, so I couldn't tell you. I would think that you'd be, you know, frisked to the max trying to get in.
Yeah, probably. So. Who knows what they'd be doing now. Okay, so your website is butchforbastropcounty.com, and that's the numeral four.
Yep.
Okay, butchforbastropcounty.com. I assume you accept campaign donations?
Absolutely.
Okay.
$5 will help.
what's the limit of a campaign donation from an individual?
I'm not sure if there is one.
There's no limit?
I don't think there is, no.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's no telling how much money the developers have given this young lady.
Well, gosh, yeah, you would think that's, I mean,
yeah,
that's worth tens of millions of dollars to build new property and so on.
Yep. I don't have any signs on the development either, you know.
Right.
Got her political signs all over the development.
Wow. Okay. So you're accepting donations. What about volunteers? Are you accepting volunteers to
help? I've got plenty of people helping me, you know.
Okay.
We've got our, over there in my neighborhood, we've got our little core group that we all hang out with, and those guys have stepped up to the plate.
Okay.
Big time to come out and help me, and, you know, so anybody that wants to volunteer, and Don here's helped me a ton, come on, you know, we'll have a good time, and you know, after the fact, we'll all sit down and have some barbecue or something, you know, whatever.
Okay.
So we're going to, that's the way we take care of each other. You know?
Well, and I think that as county commissioner, your time, you're going to find that the county faces far more profound challenges than even probably what we've talked about today.
Right. Yeah.
So I think the cohesion among Texas people who do share these common values of protecting the children, protecting our property, also our privacy, and getting the burden of big government off our backs so that we can do what Texans do best, which is to build and invent, innovate, to be creative. Texans are really amazing people if we can just be allowed the opportunity to do what we do.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, being a multi-generation Texan, you're pretty biased on what you think people should, you know, because we'll sit around with each other a lot of times. We'll rattle off the state bird or the state flower, the state fish or the, you know, and you go, man, these people moving here need to know all this. So that's being a multi-generation Texan. You kind of go,
true.
You
know, true.
These people don't know nothing about Texas.
Yeah. Well, I've learned a lot about Texas being here for all the 15 years or whatever I've been here. And it's I love the state. I love the people. I love the food, too,
right,
by the way. Yeah. I'll go out and have I'll go drive over to Lockhart and have some of their barbecue over there sometimes.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
The good stuff.
Absolutely.
And I guess there's good stuff in the county as well. Well, thank you, Butch, for joining me today and putting up with all my questions.
Thank you for having me, man.
It's an honor to have you here.
Yes, sir.
I wish you the best with your campaign.
Thank you.
Thank you for standing up for Texas values and for, again, just for putting up with me and my dog. Oh, he's here.
Yeah.
Hey, Rody, you want to come around, Rody? Over here. Come here.
Hey, buddy.
You want to say hi?
Hey, buddy.
Say hi to Butch here.
Where'd your toy go, man?
Apparently, he's lost it at this point. But... And in Texas, we also love our dogs.
Yes, too. We do.
Yeah, he's a good one to have around. All right, well, thank you all for watching today. Hope you enjoyed this conversation. And, of course, this is about much more than one county in Texas, because I think every county across America is going to be facing some of the issues that I brought up here. And, frankly, if we don't protect and defend the values that have made America great and made states like Texas great, then we will lose it. So do what Butch here did. Step up, run for local office. If you're a pro-liberty, pro-America individual, pro-Second Amendment, pro-First Amendment, run for local office. Be that person. Instead of just always complaining like, oh, they're not doing what's right, jump in there, be that person yourself, get the job done, because local government is where we're going to get traction, and this is where we're going to save America, is starting from the local level. And thank you for watching us today here. I'm Mike Adams of Brighteon.com, coming to you from Central Texas. Thanks for watching. God bless you all. God bless Texas. Take care. All right, let's talk about some solutions for preparedness and survival based on what's happening in the world. Things are getting completely out of control, as you know. And some of these are sponsors. Some of these are free. I'm going to give you some free tools here as well. First thing, show the camera on my desk here. This is all collapsed currency from all over the world. Trillions of dollars worth of collapsed currency, and then here's fake Hollywood currency of $100 bills. This is all going to zero. I mean, some of this is already zero, but even dollars are going to zero. This is the solution. These are called goldbacks. This is a 50 gold back bill. It's 51/1000ths of an ounce of gold is embedded in the bill. And that's why it's so thick. And they have smaller denominations like the one gold back here. I could hold it right side up. This is 1/1000th of an ounce of gold. And we've done the laboratory testing, and you can find it at our affiliate website called verifiedgoldbacks.com. If you want real physical gold that's highly divisible and has high utility, this is the solution, verifiedgoldbacks.com. And if you scroll through here, you can see all of our lab testing that we did. We actually melted them down, and we did all kinds of tests for the purity and the mass of the gold that's in these bills. And check out the different designs here. Let's see if you can show that. You got different designs of different amounts of gold that are embedded in the bills. There's a 50 that I showed you, and then there's a 25, a 5, a 10, and ones as well. Really an amazing solution. Now, other things to keep in mind. We've got storable food right now at healthrangerstore.com. I've got some on my desk here showing you also the Iosat iodine, the potassium iodide, prevention of the radiation damage to your thyroid. That's all FDA approved there, the Iosat product. We've also got dietary supplement iodine there, as well as the Ranger buckets and various food buckets. We've got the heavy cream, all certified organic, laboratory tested, back in stock, plus the red miso, the yellow miso, and white cheddar cheese powder, which is just pure organic cheddar cheese. No fillers, no colors, no garbage in it of any kind. You can find all of that at healthrangerstore.com. Now, continuing with our topic of preparedness, our sponsor in the satellite phone space is the Satellite Phone Store. You can find them at SAT123.com. Connects you here to the Satellite Phone Store. And these are emergency backup comms devices that work even if the cell towers go down or if the power grid goes down. And they have packages with the bivy sticks, with Faraday bags, and pre-installed software on a mobile device that protects your privacy because it doesn't talk to the cell towers. It just talks through the satellites. You can send and receive text messages, and you can let people know you're okay, or you can have emergency contacts that are successful through that mechanism. Here's something that I don't talk about enough, but there's a company called shieldarms.com that has a new product, which is the S10 Grip Chop. And as you can see here, this is a chopped off grip of a Glock 43X. Now, show camera one. This is my Glock 43X right here. Let's see if I can get on camera. And so as you can see, the magwell, you know, this is a pretty long designation right here. You know, it can stick out if you're trying to do concealed carry. But if you go to shieldarms.com, they have their Grip Chop S10 firearm, which is available right now. And it's a shorter grip that allows it to be more easily concealed, but yet it takes full-size magazines. And then Shield Arms has their custom steel mags. Actually, that's what I've got right here. This is the Shield Arms magazine. It's vastly superior to Glock mags. It holds more rounds and it's more durable. So this is the best setup. You can get these mags and you can get these Grip Chop pistols at shieldarms.com. Of course, all federal laws apply. You have to transfer through an FFL and so on. You know, obey your local and national laws in order to do this. But this allows you to be ultra concealable in carrying this outstanding firearm, the Glock 43X. And I think you can use discount code RANGER there to save 10% off that firearm. They may still have that code active. I'm not entirely sure. Now, continuing with some more preparedness items right here, Brighteon.ai. This is our free downloadable artificial intelligence language model. We are training this on an extensive amount of information on food, herbs, nutrition, off-grid living, but also survival and preparedness. It's non-commercial, it's open source, it's free to use. You just enter your email address here, click register, and you'll be given access to a download page. And we're releasing new models all the time, including a 7 billion parameter model that is trained on all of this survival and prepping and nutrition content. Nobody else in the world has models like this. In addition, we have a backup comms social media platform that we've just launched called Brighteon.io. And if you go to that website, Brighteon.io, you can sign up. You can see that it's a big social media type of site. The thing is, See, it's got free speech videos. Here's a flat earth video. That's pretty funny. There's all kinds of videos here, all kinds of different viewpoints and opinions. Here's Dave Hodges here with a video. You can go there and you can share videos and content, and there are no central servers. It's all peer-to-peer, decentralized, and it runs on blockchain. And it has its own blockchain coin here, actually called Pcoin, which is modeled after Bitcoin, and it's kind of a reputation coin on the platform. Anyway, you can find out about that. Just go to brighttown.io. If you download the app and run it, then this will even survive the internet kill switch because it doesn't need to resolve domain names in order to function. So that's brighttown.io. And then in terms of products that we have, guess what? We also have the knives that we've custom designed with Dawson Knives here. This is one of our combat knives, and they're made with MagnaCut steel, incredibly durable, high Rockwell hardness. They're flexible without shattering. They hold an edge, and they're almost corrosion proof. That's the advantage of MagnaCut steel. So yeah, if you see this, this is, and it's a G10 handle with an oversized finger guard here. This is a really incredible knife. And because it's got three holes here, show camera one, let me show you this. Because it's got these three holes, see if I can get the light just right. Yeah, it's got this hole, and then this hole. You can use paracord and you can strap it to a stick and make a spear out of it. So this can be made into a spear relatively easily. We've got multiple knives from Dawson that, of course, I'm the co-designer, and it's got a special wedge end here as well for escape and evasion. We are out of the escape from LA knife, but we do have this Tonto version that we're working on right now that we may come out with. And then we've got some other really amazing. This is, oh, that's another one of our combat knives, but we've got a bushcrafting knife as well that you can check out. Find all that at healthrangerstore.com. Bottom line, folks, we have a lot of preparedness solutions for you. Some of them are free, like brighttown.ai or brighttown.io, or you can use Brighttown Social or just brighttown.com. But, and then some of them, of course, cost money. Like if you're going to get your hands on gold, you know, it's going to cost you. You're going to pay for the gold. Not everything's going to be free, obviously. So iodine, storable food, weapons of self-defense to defend and protect innocent life. These are the kinds of things that we are advocating very strongly right now at this time in history because of what's happening in the world, what's happening with the open borders, where we are domestically with chaos and lawlessness getting worse in most cities across America, more illegals invading more states and counties. So be ready to defend yourself. And then, of course, the collapse of the dollar coming as well. It's accelerating every day. You're seeing it with food inflation. Now, look at the cost of your car insurance, by the way. Look at that. It's skyrocketing. Health insurance, it's all skyrocketing. Things are getting more expensive because your dollar is worth less and less. Meanwhile, gold is absolutely skyrocketing. In fact, let me just bring up where gold is right now. 2384. Show my screen. I want to show the trend here. If you look at gold prices here, just over, what does that go back to? Like the end of October last year, gold was $1,837. Now it's almost $2,400. Look at that rise right there. Gold is skyrocketing in dollars because dollars are losing value. So people who are smart, who want to maintain their value of gold and silver, well, that's it's doing exactly what it's designed to do, to hold value. Oh, I should mention, by the way, if you go to metalswithmike.com, this is our gold and silver coin sponsor, the Treasure Island Company, and you go there and you can request to talk with them, or you can check their real-time prices right here. They'll give you the price quotes here. You can look at gold coins like U.S. Mint coins, real-time pricing online, and they have discrete, secure, guaranteed delivery, insured. So check them out at metalswithmike.com. They are our gold and silver sponsor for the coins. So those are some of our sponsors, some of the solutions that we offer, some of the free things that are available to you. Whatever you do, you know, make sure that you're getting prepared for what's coming. Grow more food. Save your garden seeds. You know, get more items at the grocery store that you can even stockpile that will last a longer period of time. Try to get out of the dollar into things that will hold value, whether it's gold and silver or something else. Maybe you're going to buy a piece of land. Maybe you're going to stock up on ammo or diesel fuel or you know, something that holds value. But take action now, because the world is becoming more chaotic. Time is running out. Thank you for supporting our sponsors and supporting this platform. We appreciate you. That keeps us going. It allows us to build the free tools that we're giving back to you, such as the AI tools, as well as the Brightown.io platform. But together, we can make it through all this, and then we'll be the ones who get to help, you know, rebuild society on the other side of the collapse of this current system. And it is collapsing. But get prepared now while you can, and thank you for all your support. I'm Mike Adams here of HealthRangerStore.com, as well as Brightown.com. Take care.